last week, you touched upon kind of a couple of the examples of just the way that our culture is shifting away, and is shifting away from the church. And it seems more and more like we are outsiders. And to a certain extent, we always have been as God's people. Jesus says we are in the world, but not of the world. But something amazing happened through the work of the church. God, through his church, foundationally changed the world and made nations Christian nations. Not meaning that they didn't have their sins and their shortcomings, but meaning that the ethos, the very thoughts, the very concept that they were created and that men were created by God was formed from the God of the Bible. A God of grace and love and mercy and justice. And we see that kind of that idea, that concept being chipped away. But I don't want you to despair. Because when Peter wrote this letter, the world looked a lot, the world looked probably more like it did today than it did even 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Where we feel like we are exiles, even though, historically speaking, we were part of a nation that at one point at least was a Christian nation, and now we feel like we're exiles. And when Peter begins his letter, he says, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion, meaning the believers of Christ throughout the world, knowing that Christ has not returned to form his kingdom, his everlasting kingdom that we are going to have in the new world. And so now he's writing them saying, you are elect, you are chosen, and yet we still are kind of exiles in this world. The best is still yet to come. That's how he begins his letter. He finishes chapter 1 by talking about the ways of the world and says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. Hey, grass is pretty much green. Flowers, when they bloom, are beautiful, right? That's one of the things that we love about driving in this area right now. The super blooms that we see. Yellow against the green hills and purples against the green hills. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But Peter goes on to write, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So the ways of this world, they may be tempting. They may seem wonderful. They may lure us and seem beautiful, but they're going to fade away. What is going to last forever? The word of the Lord. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And we get into our text that was read today in the epistle lesson now. This is like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So what do we do as we feel like more and more we're being rejected? Our beliefs are being rejected by the world. More and more we see that God is hated, and we who follow him are hated too. This image of a, as a child longing to cling, this newborn child, longing to cling to his mother for milk. That is how we are to cling to our God, to our salvation. To long for Jesus. To long for his truth. To look to him to be sustained. I like this imagery. As you come to him, a living stone. A stone, a living stone. Not a rock that is just dead, but a stone. That has been rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, it's interesting. The world is going to slander us. We are considered countercultural. We are considered mean and hate-filled. What we claim to be as good and right by the standard of God's word, others claim to be evil. And what they claim to be good, we see dishonors God. It's a really interesting world and time we live in. I say interesting, I should actually say it's terrifying. When we talk about the West, Western nations have been guilty of some awful atrocities, right? One of those right now, of course, modern day, is abortion. And I'm talking to one of my neighbors who is not a believer. And she knows that I'm a pastor, but she was kind of trying to look for some empathy from me because her father, who claims to be a born-again Christian, and I'm sure he is always beating her. She feels like she's being beaten to death with Christian morality. And she says, you know, he tells me that abortion is wrong, but I just keep on thinking that it's a woman's body. It's her right. It's her body. What does he need to tell me what I can and can't do? It's not his body. And the realization of the reality that just hit me is like, that she does not have a religion as we would define it. But she does hold on to her beliefs religiously. With that fervor, with that conviction. That is how she sees her point of view. And because I didn't want to just come across, I didn't want to deny the truth and say, oh yeah, you're right, it is a woman's body, because it's not. I don't even think we can make the argument that science supports that, because if you were to, you know, if you were to hear the, you know, if you were to listen for heartbeats, you would hear a separate heartbeat in the mother's womb. That's a different body. But instead of going there, I just looked at him and I said, look, I can get why you, a non-religious person, doesn't have the same convictions as a religious person. Because I'm in it to play the long game. I'm in it to show the love of Christ, and maybe one day I'll have that conversation with her again and we can talk about abortion again. But at first I just wanted to let her know I'm not going to just automatically slam you down because you have your beliefs and your convictions. The world has come to you and you have believed in the world. For us, we have to understand that Satan does preach and that people do believe. We might have to look at some people, and depending on they are, and who they are and how they are acting, sometimes we just want to stay away from them. Sometimes we will openly condemn them. Other times we just need to patiently tolerate them. Sometimes it's okay, dear Christians, to give a little snark. Sometimes we need to be a little more patient. But we never compromise the truth. Because we are to be living stones. And if we are rejected from the world on account of our faith, who cares? Because God has called you to build up and be part of a spiritual household. This is why the gathering is so important. Now, where I am going to have, I might not have an issue so much with a non-believer thinking that, oh, it's a woman, it's my body, my choice. Well, of course, you've been lied to by that. You don't have a God that you surrender your morality to. But when it comes to other Christians, we're going to have a conversation if you believe otherwise. Right? This is one of the reasons why when you hear somebody say to you, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't need to be part of the church. I don't need to go to the church because it's just full of hypocrites and they don't do anything. And you're judgmental. Aside from the fact that right now in your statement, when you hear that, they're being judgmental, when you hear that they themselves are being judgmental, Try to look past the irony of that statement and just remind them that God calls them to be part of the gathering. And that being faithful to God is important to them. They will gather. And they will work to have reconciliation with the church. Because the church, they are better as living stones to be part of the spiritual household. And the church is better if all the living stones are gathered together. That is God's will for us. Yes. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It isn't a suggestion. It is a commandment from God, right? That is a command from God. But it's a command because he loves us and he wants the best for us. Because we as his church are better together. And one benefit of the way that the direction of this world is going is we as God's people, we're only going to grow closer together. We're only going to grow stronger together. As the world changes, God is going to make his church even more beautiful and stronger than it already is. We are going to be refined through the world's hatred and persecution. And just remember, too, that our foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, he was rejected too. He was rejected by the builders. Who were the builders? Well, they were the religious leaders, the chief priests. We heard about them a little bit today in the first reading. They're the ones who Stephen condemned, saying, "You've rejected the Holy Spirit before, and you reject it now today." And Stephen was stoned. And for those who reject Jesus, he is a stumbling block. And so we have to remember that while the world is all going in one direction, it might scare us because we're the ones who are like standing still. And we're called the extremists. But we've been right here believing what we believe the whole entire time. You're the one who's moving away. You're the one who's growing further and further away. We're right here the entire time. As we stand still and stand firm and they move, it's kind of a scary time because we might feel like we're alone. But they are the ones who are stumbling. They're stumbling over the truth. They're stumbling over Jesus Christ. They're stumbling over what God defines as moral and good. They're missing the blessings of Christ. Now, I believe that there are some people who, if they were hypothetically, if God were to come to them in hell and say, "Have you burned long enough? Are you ready to repent?" They would say, "No, I want to stay in here." I do believe there are some people that are like that. They are just dead set against the truth of God. But there are others who are going to realize how, even if they thought it was well-meaning at the time, they're going to realize how hateful and how broken the world actually is. And they're going to realize, for the longest time, we knew what a male and a female was. But we don't anymore. There are going to be some people who are going to wake up. And if we as the church can kind of stand firm in the truth, they who are feeling feeling also rejected by the world, they're going to feel like they're going to be ready to be received by Christ. They're going to be ready to receive His word. And they're going to become a part of us. Not because we try to be relevant by going along with the culture. But they're going to come to us because we are relevant. Because we preach a gospel that says, yeah, we do sin and fall short. We are worthy of God's wrath. And yet, although we are worthy of God's wrath, Christ took our place. The foundation of the church. The one who formed this world. The one who is the King of all creation. Who put the stars in the sky. He died for you. God died on a cross for you. And He rose again on the third day for you. And as He is in heaven, just as He told His disciples, "In a little while I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you." And so, yes, God has made you holy and blessed in this world because you are like living stones. But furthermore, God has called you into eternal life. And there's going to be a world, a new world, where all the suffering that we endure in this world will not be present. All the bad news that we hear will not be present. Starvation, famine, disease, greed, wars, strife, deceit, lies are not part of that new creation. And what Peter promises through the Holy Spirit is he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Christ's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you know what else he promises? Your faith will not be put to shame. What I love most about this book is the author. The author is Simon Peter. Simon Peter, who denied Christ 3 times the night that he was arrested. Simon Peter, who was forgiven and given grace upon grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that lets me know that even though I have failed and have fallen in sin, that just as Peter proclaimed a wonderful gospel message, so can I. And just because you have fallen before and have committed sins, you can still proclaim a gospel to those in your life around you. Because God has forgiven you and called you out away from your sin and has made you holy and beautiful. You are the royal priesthood. You are his people. You are his church. You have been given the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life and the resurrection of the body. Glory be to God, who loves you and cherishes you and says you are worth dying for. You are worth rising for. You are worth living for. God is with you to the end of this age. No matter what happens, no matter what crazy thing our culture and society is going to shove down our throats next, it is going to wither and fade. But God's word is going to last forever. And so will you who believe and are sustained in his word. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. And